A few years ago on television, there was a show on called What Not to Wear. And if you happen to catch any of those episodes, I will confess, and I know that some of you will ask me later for my man card, but I enjoyed the show. And I often would binge it with Jalen and Amy as they would watch it. And if you've never seen the show, it's for girls, but it was just fascinating because I love watching people and I love just the minds of people and what goes on in people's, just their thought process. And if you've never watched the show, what it was is these two people show up and they surprise somebody and they say, hey, guess what? Your friends nominated you for our show. And we've gone through your closet and all of the worst things you possibly could wear, we've pulled them out for all of America to see. Isn't that sound exciting? One episode, remember, particularly was there was a lady who loved turtles. Everybody loves something, and she just loved turtles. And the host of the show and myself, too, we both had the same amazement. I didn't realize that there was so much turtle-related apparel in this world. I mean, this lady had an entire closet. Every shirt, blouse, pants, shorts, shoes, earrings, hats, sunglasses had turtles somehow on them. I didn't know that there was such a market for turtle wear. But the process of the show is that they go through it and they say, okay, pick out your best outfit, like what makes you feel the most special. And then they put them in this four-way mirror box and they go, okay, describe it to us. What's making you feel great about it? And more times than not, immediately when somebody actually stopped to look at it, they're like, yeah, I feel good. But now that I'm looking at it, like, why am I wearing this? And then, of course, then they give them the makeup and the haircut, and they give them a credit card, and they're like, go and buy clothes. Now, this is the part of the show I never understood was they give you $5,000 on a credit card, and they're like, go buy clothes. I'm like, I'm there. I would have no problem. They would not have to hold my hand. But any time that they do this, the people would walk through a store and they're like, I don't know what to buy. Like that lady with the turtle, she was walking around. She's like, there's nothing in here with turtles on it. But the thing about it was at the end was they would pick out some outfits. They would do their hair. They would dress them up. And then they'd represent them back to their friends and family. And it was just like this total transformation. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Paul talks about this same principle in instructions for Christian living. Beginning in verse 17, Paul says this, and I'm going to read through to verse 32. He says, so I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality and to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. That, however, is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught, with regard to your former life, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, and to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbors, for all are members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on you while you are still angry, and do not give the devil foothold. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs. Verse 30, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit, within whom you were sealed to the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other. I am just amazed at what Paul was saying here. In verse 22 and 24, he says that you were taught to put off your former way of life. You have to put off the old way. You know, just... I think we'll go mono today. Just in as in that show, that the person who was invited to be a participant, they had to evaluate what was in their life, their old clothes. And then when in doing so, they were taught then how to put on new things. And the whole premise of the show is that by the end of this is that you should be able to go on from here on out, turning away from the old things to the new. And Paul is sharing that with us today. We need to know that we have to put off the old, renew our mind, and put on the new. Now, for some of this, it sounds like we're talking about breaking habits, aren't we? But I want to challenge us today to start thinking of this thing. We are not talking about breaking habits because you cannot break a habit. You must replace them. I'll say that again. You cannot break a habit. You have to replace them. So many of us have been taught throughout the years about, oh, if we just stop doing this, right? Every diet starts off that way. Just stop eating these things. And that's what we focus on, right? If you start a diet and it says, stop eating sugar, what are you going to be preoccupied throughout your day? Sugar. Don't eat carbs. What happens when you stop eating carbs? Everywhere you go, it's like everybody's got rolls and bread and here, carbs. Like, yay. But instead, those who change their lifestyles, and I've watched people who actually do this, is it's not just turning away from things, but what are they saying yes to? David wrote this back in Psalm 51, create in me a new heart, O Lord. The Lord said it in Jeremiah when he says, I will trade your old stony heart for a new soft one. Jesus said, you were dead in trespasses and sin, but I'm going to give you new life. There's a thing with God. He doesn't want us to just kind of do away with the old stuff. He wants to get rid of it and give us something new. Isn't that awesome? Amy and I, as she alluded to earlier, we're in the process right now, and I've talked about this a few times, but we're in the process of moving. If you've ever been moving, there's things you find. You never realize just how many just nooks and crannies there are in your house. And that over a short period of time, how you can fill those with things, right? Treasures. Treasures. There's a reason why we kept this, right? Why do I have 6 pin caps and no pins? Why do I have 1 sock that doesn't match any of my other socks, but they're still in my drawer? We keep these things. But what Paul is saying is you got to get rid of this old stuff. But we don't like to do that. Why do we not? It's in our psychology. We don't want to do that. We love saying yes to things. And so Paul's telling us in this passage, I believe, he's saying, you say no to this, but you say yes to the new. That's why the middle part there is to renew your mind. And that's where we're going to start. There's 3 things that we can do. Number 1 is renew your mind. Verse 17, so I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. In verse 18, he goes on to say that they were hardened in their heart. Those with unrenewed minds have what I have come to call cardiac cataracts. cardiac cataracts. They have a cataract on their heart. Now, if you don't know what a cataract is, it is where your lens of your eyeball actually starts to get foggy and smoky, and a crustacean grows on it, and you can't see clearly. That sounds exciting, doesn't it? Anyone here have cataracts before? Yeah, all of you who are under 40, don't worry. They're going to get there, okay? We'll get there. Cataracts. The Bible is describing, Paul's writing here, he says that it becomes a hardening of their hearts. This happens because the people gave in to their base desires. They indulge in every kind of impurity and are full of greed. Now, I don't know if you guys know who Dwayne Johnson is. You might know who Dwayne Johnson? The Rock, right? Yeah, The Rock. The people's elbow, the people's eyebrow, if you don't know him for WWE. He's been in a few movies, if you've never seen. Dwayne Johnson is famous for his healthy living. I mean, he has made his entire career based on his body. If you're a guy, you want to be like him, right? If you're a girl, maybe you want to be with him. Who wants to be 6'4 and like 300 pounds and 90% muscle? Who wants that? But he is notorious for his binge days. He lives clean, what he calls living clean, for just months on end. Like when he's doing a movie, he is so regimented in his exercise and his diet, he will not vary from it at all. So he is in peak physical condition for his movie. But as soon as the last day is over, he has these famous binge days, and he posts them because he's a social media nut. He posts them all over the place. One of his most famous ones last year at the end of Baywatch, he went out and he ate. In one day, he had 12 pancakes. I don't mean like, you know, like a pancake, like, oh, Lego my Eggo pancake. I mean like a pancake, right? Fill your plate pancake. 12 of those. That was his breakfast. Then he ate for lunch. He had 4 pizzas. Not slices, 4 pizzas. And then for dessert, he topped it off with 21 brownies. Why does he do that? Because he's, in his interviews, they asked him, like, why do you do this? He goes, because I know myself. I know that the desire in me to indulge in those not healthy things. And so I give in. I use that as an example. What Paul is saying here is that when a person gets to the point where they have lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves into sensuality to indulge in every kind of impurity. Now, for some of you, I just described that day's food intake, and you're like, so that's Thursday. Thus, we don't look like The Rock. In life, you may know some people, and you're like, they just give whatever comes to their mind, whatever comes to their heart, they give into it. An impulse just drives them to do it. In my time in jail ministry of interacting with inmates, time and time again, this came up. Their desires of their heart were not necessarily bad things. They wanted to have companionship. They wanted to have things. They want to have a home. They want to have a car. They want to have money. The desire was no different than what mine or yours may be. But their impulses, their giving in to that base driving greed causes them to do things that are impure and unholy. And Paul's talking about that. You who were once like that, you were Gentiles. You were away from God. And you let your heart be hardened. Develop this cataract on your heart. And it has got to be removed. The only way that they can fix a cataract is that they have to change your lens. Paul's saying we have to do the same thing. In Psalm 4:2, the writer says this, "Sons of men, how long will you be stubborn? Why love you vanity and falsehood?" Why do you love vanity and falsehood? Do you know what the word vanity means? At its core, it means nothing, empty, fluff. It's the cotton candy of life. There's of no substance to it. Boy, wouldn't we want to all just love to eat cotton candy all the time? That would be wonderful. What if cotton candy had all the basic nutrients of life? Wouldn't that be great? Do you want broccoli or do you want cauliflower or do you want cotton candy? They all have the same amount of vitamins in them. What would we eat? I know there's a few of you who are sick and say, oh, I want broccoli. But for the rest of the world, we have a tendency to go for the easy, don't we? Men will be stubborn. They will seek vanity and falsehood. How then do we get a new lens? How do we renew our mind? Psalm 119:105, many of us know this verse. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. How can I see? That's what we're talking about, right? Having clear vision. How do we have a clear vision of what's going on? First of all, we have to have a clear vision of what is in our life that has to be purged. What is the old stuff that needs to be pushed out? And let's be honest. Nobody needs 32 turtle shirts. But a lot of us have some things hanging on in our life. We're like, oh. Now I have to admit, when we were moving, I found a box. In the box is a shirt I wore in high school. Why do I still have that shirt? I don't know. But I still didn't get rid of it because I was like, there's a reason. At some point, I was like, I'm going to save this shirt. Maybe just to use as a sermon illustration. But I hang on to it. Maybe there's some things in our life. That's not really doing me any harm. It doesn't take up a lot of space. There's nothing wrong with the shirt. But what things are we hanging on to, maybe from as far back as high school or grade school, or maybe just yesterday or last year, that the Lord's speaking to you, if you got to get that out. Let's be honest. You need to have some clear vision about that thing. You're hanging on to it. John 3:21, Jesus says this, whoever lives by truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. We have to renew our mind, and we renew our mind by bringing the light of truth. The light of truth. Verse 17 says, it said, do not live like the Gentiles in the futility of their thinking. Drop down to verse 21. It says, when you heard about Christ, you were taught in him in the accordance to the truth that is in him. How do I get away with the old and do away with the futility, the emptiness, the stuff that's just fluff? I do it by bringing in the reality, the real, the truth, which is Jesus. We bring in the word of God. The second thing that Paul tells us to do is to renew our body, to renew the body of Christ. Verse 25, therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. He goes on to read to say this in verses 26 through 28. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on you while you're still angry. Do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no more, but must work, doing something useful with their hands. Paul is telling us, I believe, in this little short passage that there are three things that we need to be putting off, specifically that deals with how we interact with one another. The first is this, lying. In verse 25, you got to speak truthfully to one another. Speak truthfully to one another. Why is this an important thing? Because I believe lying is the opposite of truth. Lying is the opposite of what Christ is all about. I am the truth, the life, and the way, he said. Jesus is truth. If we are lying, we are not living out what we are supposed to be. Remember last week I talked about that we were called in Christ. We were given a name. We're supposed to be acting Christ-like. And a matter of fact, in John 8:44, Jesus says that if you're lying, you're like your father, Satan, who's the father of all lies. So who do you want to be like? We're putting off our old. You were once Gentiles. You were once far away from God. You were once like Satan, your father, the father of lies. But now you're supposed to be like Christ. You're supposed to be putting on the new and giving truth. So stop lying. Second thing, quit being angry. Verses 26 and 27. Anger is the opposite of love. When we let anger fester in our life, we allow it to get in and cause bitterness. And bitterness will prohibit forgiveness. Bitterness will prohibit forgiveness. Psalm 4:4. Are you provoked to wrath? The writer writes, do not therefore commit sin. What you say in your hearts, I love how, this is from the Septuagint translation, by the way. If you don't know what Septuagint is a translation that took place about 300 BC. I like how they word this. What you say in your hearts, be sorry for on your beds. When you read this and you read commentary on this, many of the writers think that what's happening here is that in Psalms that they're saying is, when you're going to bed, reflect on what you said that day. Not just what you said out loud. Some of us do have filters. Some of y'all don't. But some of us have filters, and we filter, and sometimes it gets past our filter, but there are things we say in our heart that we don't say out loud, isn't there? I'll be the first to confess that. But Paul's writing is that, and he's referencing this verse, he's saying, when you go to bed at night, you need to purge those things out, because those things have a little habit of setting in your heart. And it can create bitterness. Do not let Satan have a foothold, he says in verse 27. Because Satan is looking for that place, that crack that he can wiggle into. So don't lie. Don't be angry with one another. Another third thing is stop stealing. Stop stealing, which is the opposite of giving. When we steal, we are takers. And God's character, and ours should be also, is one of giving. We're supposed to be conduits of blessings, not a burden. Jesus, throughout his ministry, is like, I'm going to give to you so you can give to others. God, throughout the Old Testament, is saying, I'm going to give to you, Israel, so you can give to others. My grace, my love, my blessings. All of these things, you guys are to be a conduit of blessings. Quit being a burden. You're like, well, I don't steal. I mean, I don't take stuff. It's not like you come to church and you take a microphone home or something, right? Well, there is a microphone missing, but that's it. No, I'm just joking. How are ways that we steal from one another? We steal each other's joy. We steal each other's happiness. We steal each other's blessings. You ever had somebody come and they're being blessed by the Lord right now, and you're just like, oh, well, that must be great for you. Let me tell you my 10 things why I'm not blessed. Or, oh, you got blessed because you just got a new job. Oh, well, now you got to learn everybody's new names, and you got to figure out what the culture is. And I mean, what's their coffee policy? You get a new car. You can't just say, hey, oh, wow, like you got a new car. Oh, you got a new car, but your insurance is going to go up. Mm-hmm. Why do we do that? These are the little things that we steal from one another. Quit doing that, Paul's saying. The world puts each other down in order to try to raise themselves up. What the body is supposed to do is we lift everyone up at the same time. You got a blessing? Awesome. That is great for you. I am your brother and sister in Christ. That means I got to be blessed too because we're all one body. Can I borrow your new car? We steal from one another. Quit doing that. And what is the reason for that? At the very end of 28, he says, do this so that you can have something that you can share with others who are in need. You know, the most fascinating people to me in the body of Christ are those who just network. That network. And they see people over here who have gifts and talents and abilities and monetary blessings. And they see people over here who are in need. And they match those up. And it's the body of Christ working. Here's the flow of blessing. Here's the one who needs. And the two come together. And Paul's saying, when you keep stealing from one another, when you keep breaking each other down and tearing each other down, you're interrupting that flow. We have to change. We have to renew the body of Christ. We have to renew ourselves, the physical actions of our body. Quit lying. Quit being angry with one another. And quit stealing. Quit acting like we're still belonging to Satan. And we do all of that, not just in the physical, not in just the mental, but in the spiritual realm as well. Verse 30, do not grieve the Holy Spirit with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Paul's writing that there's this element of our mind has to be renewed, our body has to be, the actions that we take has to be renewed, but that our spirit has to be renewed. And how do we grieve the spirit? Well, he talks about this right here in verse 29. Therefore, he says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Wow. Why would Paul say it? Why is Paul saying, look, you have to renew your spirit. And you do this, first of all, by the way that you talk. What does the way that we talk have to do with our spirit? Jesus said this in Luke 6, 45. A good man brings good things from the good stored in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of that which is stored in his heart. For what the mouth speaks, the heart is full of. What the mouth speaks, the heart is full of. Well, think about that the next time you're flipping through the talk heads or on radio and TV. Are they trying to inform, educate, build up America? Or defy and destroy and cause all kinds of problems and chaos? What about in your own life? How do we talk to one another? Well, we read this verse and immediately somebody may come up with the thought of, well, I better not cuss anymore, right? That's a good start. That's a good start. But it goes beyond that. How about gossip? Now, I know no one in here gossips. But y'all pray for each other, right? Let's pray for so-and-so. Let me tell you what's going on in their life. How about sarcasm? Now, this one hurts me. Sarcasm's a second language to me. But remember I talked about earlier, like quit stealing each other's joy and quit stealing. So what does sarcasm do? It hurts people. It points out some flaw in their thought or their action or their look. Or to do what? To bring humor to me? At the cost of who? Somebody has to pay for that. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. Because what's stored in your heart is going to come out. You know, part of the problem, I think, that why this verse is really hard for us is because we don't talk anymore. I might modify this to say, let no unwholesome text come from your phone. Let no unwholesome post be on your social media. For what is in your heart gets posted, tweeted, Snapchatted, whatever the terms are for all of the things that go on in this world. You don't believe me? Just look at your feed the next time. People just like, oh, something happened, I can put it out there. It's all there. The hatred, the vileness, the just ugliness of what people, why do people have fights on Facebook? I never understand these. To so-and-so, you know who you are. I am here to tell you and everybody else who is in my feed, blah, 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 and why I think you are the blankety-blanketest person I've ever seen. Why are you sharing that with 600 of your closest friends who are reposting that? Come on. Let no unwholesome talk, text, posting come out of your mouth. All you're doing is revealing to us your heart. We need eyes to see. You need to look back. Quit showing us your turtle shirts. Get rid of them. Verse 31. How do we renew our spirit? Verse 31. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling. What was going on in the first century? Have you ever thought about that? What kind of church was this? We got stealing, we got brawling, we got slander. It's like the Wild Wild West. It must have been a business meeting. Sorry. Sarcasm. See, thank you. Sarcasm. It just second language. I'm Lord, forgive me. All bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. You got to get rid of all of that. Boy, there's something that we love to hang on to as a grudge, isn't it? It is like super sticky. And it sticks right on your heart. And you carry it around. And you don't realize it, but it is weighing you down. Now, I'm up late last night watching some TV, and they have those infomercials, those colon cleanse infomercials. And I'm watching that, and they start off, they always like, they bring out this like gelatinous piece of rubber, and they're like, you're carrying around this much fat in your belly, and blah. I'm like, that is disgusting. Yeah, I'd like to order. No, I didn't order any. But well, in our own life, that's what these things do when we have this malice and hatred and bitterness and all this gross stuff just clogs up in our heart and our spirit. And some of us are spiritually constipated. I'm just going to tell you. And we need a spiritual cleansing. And that comes through forgiving. What are the opposite of these things? What are the opposite of those? Instead of having bitterness, have forgiveness. Instead of having rage and anger, have love and compassion. Instead of brawling and having slander, lift each other up. Encourage one another. Paul's saying you got to get rid of the old stuff. You got to put on the new. Why? Verse 32. Be kind and compassionate with one another, forgiving each other. But be kind. This should be the place, right? When I say this place, I mean in the church. The church should be the place where there is kindness and compassion and forgiveness. We don't break habits. We need to replace them. Now, I'm keeping on with this turtle because this just fits. It's just great. So many of us are like, oh, that turtle shirt does look bad. I'll wash it. It's still a turtle shirt, okay? Paul's saying you got to get rid of it. And you don't get rid of it by going to the store and buying a new turtle shirt. Paul's saying you got to get a whole new thing. You need to get rid of the old. And if you're like me, sometimes in my life, I'm like, I see it. I see in my wardrobe, in my spiritual wardrobe, there's been things I need to get just put off. And I go to the renew of your mind thing, and I just kind of wash some of those things. And then I put them back in my closet because I might pull them back out again, right? You ever done that? Or you get rid of it. And then a few months or so down the road in life, another situation pops up. You're like, another turtle shirt. I don't have one of those in my wardrobe anymore. I'm going to bring it back. I remember wearing a turtle shirt. I love the turtle shirt. I'm getting a new turtle shirt. What does that look like? I used to be angry. I used to be ugly. I used to have this sin in my life, and I finally got rid of it. And I walk down life, and over here, I run into it again. And what do? I buy it right back off the rack. I put it back in my wardrobe. If you fill your life with Christ, if you fill your life and your heart and your mind and your spirit with Him, there'll be no room for other shirts. There'll be no room for all the bad stuff. But we never give Him the full closet, do we? We always reserve a little area for our stuff. So my challenge to myself, my challenge to you today is, what has been hanging in the back of your closet that you need to get taken care of today? You need to put off. And what is it in Christ that replaces it? And what can you do to put that on? The sooner we do that, the sooner we can walk in love and joy and kindness and compassion and forgive one another. Put off the old, put on the new. We don't break habits, we replace them. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much. That you have patience with us. God, sometimes when it comes to our sins, we're hoarders that we know that you've thrown them out in our life, and we dig back in the trash and we pull that stuff back out and we're like, oh, but I love that sin. I hung on to that because I wanted to, and I hang it back in my closet just for another day. God, help us to overcome those urges. May we be like David. We ask you to come and search our heart. If you find any wicked way in us, is there anything that we need to purge out? God, help us to take it and put it off so that we may renew our mind, our body, and our spirit and put on you. Your word says that we are in you, we are a new creation. God, help us to be that new creation, inside and out. It's in your name we pray. Amen.